And so, but was there a, like a learning curve because the timing and all of the sort of the extent, the kinds of extenuating circumstances that you were dealing with the water were very tied to the water, you know, the marine aspect of it, the weather, the tides, the fog, things like that. And with trucks, those obviously aren't the same, you know, there's a different set of issues with trucks and right, then also right. that, and it's quick, everything's quicker and, you know.
Well, basically, what we're doing now up there, 59th Street, when I went up to Manhattan, 59th Street was undergoing major renovations as far as dredging.
I see.
They were dredging the slips. Vissy Paper had a couple of instances of fires where the place was closed down for weeks. And we had allocated 15 Department of Sanitation barges that we used to use for garbage to Vissy Paper.
I see.
So there were extenuating circumstances when I went up to Manhattan that we had to deal with. I think the first year I went up there, the weather was so bad in the winter that we had to keep a tug on for ice breaking purposes, just 24/7 to break ice.
Wow.
So that the ship, the tug bringing light barges would be able to go into 59th Street.
Wow. And then what did you have a different title after you changed?
Oh, no, supervisor. Exactly. Supervisor, right.
I see. So your title was always supervisor, even though it was a specific
since 96.
Yeah. Got it. Okay. And then did you have, was there kind of a different seniority structure at works at Worth Street? Because I know that in the tower you were kind of
on your own. The tower, you shut the door and you did your work.
Yeah.
You put your head down, and for 8 hours, you didn't pick your head up.
Yeah.
In Manhattan, there's so many chiefs and so many people responsible for so many things that you really had to get to know who did what. And you were more involved with the Bureau of Cleaning and Collection because if there were problems at the waste stations, then, you know, they came to you and they'd let you know.
I see. And then, do you know, can you explain how the sort of transport operations changed after Fresh Kills closed in terms of, like, did all of the same, did the marine transfer stations all just become land transfer stations?
No. Now, half of them are falling into the water and crumbling. Like North Shore and the South Bronx have fallen into the sea. Well, North Shore, I shouldn't say that because they're reconstructing that. That's the one by LaGuardia Airport. And that's the one that they're trying to say that they don't want it built there because of the seagulls interfering with the planes.
Right.
That was where, what's his name, Sully Sullinger took off from LaGuardia Airport.
Right.
And he had the problem with the birds. But it wasn't anything to do with sanitation.
Right.
But, you know, it could be. And also there's a big controversy with the 91st Street MTS on the east side of Manhattan that the people, you know, they don't want to dump there. They don't want the garbage dumped there. Because in Manhattan right now, all of the garbage in Manhattan gets exported out of Manhattan.
Right.
There are no transfer stations in Manhattan. Everything goes outside. So
So do the trucks, when they unload, are they unloading into containers? Is that how it works now?
They're going, well, see, different places have different methods of getting rid of the garbage.
I see.
Staten Island has the rail transfer, the rail station.
I see.
So, the garbage is being dumped on a tipping floor. It's compacted and put into containers to go out on the rail.
Got it.
They do the same thing in the Bronx. they load the trucks right into the containers, and then they're shipped out. They're shipped out by train, by rail. So in Queens, they dump at transfer stations. Not marine transfer stations, but they dump at transfer stations. And the same thing with the other boroughs, you know?
Yeah, I see.
They're getting put into containers, and they're getting driven out of there.
I see. So when you switched to Manhattan, you were you overseeing all of those different stations and different dumping points?
Manhattan was the center for the hub for the dumping of garbage all over.
I see.
Whether it be Staten Island in the Staten Island transfer station, whether it be, you know, all five boroughs were being monitored through the New York office.
And this is part of the borough self-sufficiency thing, is that correct? The trash
has to be collected
directly from. Okay, and then did that mean that you had a lot of like additional, and instead of having like those 5 or 8 tugs that you knew like the back of your hand, all of a sudden you have all these different trucks and rail and all these different things. Was that hard for you to get accustomed to, or was it just
no a new thing? It wasn't. Yeah. It was just a new way to get rid of the garbage, you know?
Yeah.
So we monitor Manhattan monitors the supervisors out in the field, and they have supervisors for each borough. So they monitor a certain number of dumps, and they do their checks on in other words, it's not a supervisor that's calling you from a certain marine transfer station like it was years ago.
Yeah,
our supervisors are now more mobile because they have to visit, you know, the private entities and. You know, we're in charge of the trucks and the dumping, but the privates, we're dumping on private soil.
Right.
They're involved with ordering trucks and getting rid of, containers, you know?
Yeah, so part of the job is no longer within the department anymore.
Far as that, you know.
I see. That's interesting. And then, I guess, is there anything else that you feel like I maybe haven't talked about as far as changes that happened after you moved to Worth Street or anything?
No, just that, like I said, if anybody told me that I was going to be a supervisor in marine transportation, I would have told them you're crazy when I first came on the job, you know, because I didn't even know that they, even though the landfill existed on Staten Island. I was never even aware of it because I was going to work in Manhattan every day.
Yeah.
I was never aware of how the garbage was being disposed of or
That's
whatever.
Interesting.
So, like I said, it was like, it was really like a dream come true to work in there, you know?
Yeah.
And the only other thing I could say is that when you had a massive thunder and lightning storm and you were sitting up in that tower, it was frightening because you know, like I said, that antenna for the radio was like an attractive attraction for the lightning, you know?
But, that's crazy. Did you have like a nice view from up there?
You know what?
Or just were you looking at the landfill? Like,
you were looking
you
at the landfill because naturally The piles and mounds years before, you know, obstructed your view. But you had a nice view of the tugs coming in and where they were digging the barges. You know,
that's interesting. And then I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about your retirement. So, when did you retire from the department?
I retired in officially December of 2010 was my close of business. But I retired from the department, actually, my last day of work was August 31st. And I retired from the department due to an illness that I had worked in Word Street for 8 years in a wheelchair. And was very proud of the fact that I was able to do that.
Yeah.
And, but it was just time after I got my 20 years to retire.
Yeah. So once you were at your 20 years, it was...
Yeah, I couldn't... the traveling was too much for me.
Yeah, yeah, I can imagine. And then I was also wondering, do you think that if you had been able to continue getting out there, you would have kept working past your 20 years?
I don't know. There was a lot of factors for me as far as staying on the job, you know? So I think that I thank God every mm-hmm. day that I had the 20-year retirement.
Yeah.
Because if I didn't have that, I don't know what I would do.
Yeah.
But I managed to make it, like I said, my last 8 years were in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And so I overcame that.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
Incredible. And then, I'm sorry, I lost my place here.
And I just wanted to make note that the Columbia Society, mm-hmm. which we talked about before, mm-hmm. They honored me with the very first supervisor to receive the Renzo Ferrari Award and for public service.
Okay.
So I got that award when I left, you know.
Great. How often is that award given out?
Well, it's an annual. I was the first fella to receive it.
Oh, cool.
Renzo Ferrari was a chief that passed away.
Oh.
And he passed away of cancer.
Oh.
And I was the first one to receive that honor of getting the award.
That's quite an honor. And that you were given that award after your retirement? Or
That was, because I retired. I officially left in August,
mm-hmm.
and then they have their dinner in October.
I see.
So it was good.
That's great.
It was nice to see everybody again, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Was there like a big party and...
It was their annual dinner.
Oh, okay.
I got to see, you know, whoever went to the dinner.
Cool.
And like I said, I was honored at the dinner.
Yeah, that's great.